This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show, live from KeyBank Center. Here's your host, Brian Koziol.
McLeod up top, looking for Tage. Stone knew it, so he gets in the way. Byram keeps it. Up high, 15 seconds. It scores! Rasmus Dahlin! The captain buries it! We're tied with 13.6 seconds to go!
The captain coming through, Rasmus Dahlin, late in the 6-on-5, his 12th of the year, made it a 3-3 game. That's what tied it up. It eventually goes to a shootout, and we get Alex Tuck that wins it for the Sabres.
Alex Tuck takes the puck at center to the right circle. Tuck works in, scores! What a move!
Alex Tuck with a beautiful move. And that ends up being the game winner of the shootout. Buffalo wins it 4-3. The Dahlin goal late, the Tuck goal in the shootout. We're going to make those our co-goals of the game today. Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. As we bring you back here to KeyBank Center, live at the press box, Brian Colsey along with Pat Malacaro. Paul Hamilton is about to head into the Sabres dressing room, so we'll get some player reaction. Pat, I thought the Sabres were the better team in this game, but for a long time they were trailing. It looked as though they were going to let one slip away. The former captain, Jack Eichel, looks like he had the game winner with just a few minutes to go, but Dahlin comes through big, and then, of course, in the shootout, the couple of goals and the couple of saves from Lukanen.
This game had a little bit of everything that you're kind of looking for from the team if you're a Sabres fan. There was a big hit that the team responded to and stood up for a teammate, something we've seen a couple of games in a row now. They didn't quit. Continued to play. Look, Tomas Hertl should have buried what would have been the game-sealing goal on an empty net. The Sabres didn't just allow him to shoot the puck in the net, and he tried to make a pass. It results in going the other way and tying the game up. So everything you kind of look at this game, the Sabres went toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the Western Conference. Like you said, we're the better team for the majority of the game, and find a way to eventually win it in a shootout.
Yeah, I think that's a great point here that maybe people are going to forget about. Hertl had I thought, a clean look to backhand the puck, maybe just inside the blue line in the Buffalo zone, and decided to do kind of like a backwards blind pass to maybe try to give it to Eichel. I think maybe that's a play you make if you're up two or something, or, you know, at that point. But to do it when you really can seal the game, I thought that, you know, unless there's some explanation that I didn't see there, that it looked like he had a clear lane to backhand it in.
Yeah, and the Sabres didn't roll over and just let him just kind of take the shot either. They were trying to make a defensive play as well, so that may play into it also. See, you look in the end, and you say you found a way to get that game-tying goal. Overtime, it was back and forth, up and down the ice. Each team had chances, and in the shootout, you're eventually able to get one more than Vegas and somehow walk away with these 2 points.
Sabres win it by a 4-3 margin in a shootout. Quinn and Tuck with shootout goals. Olofsson, the only goal scorer in the shootout for Vegas. and the Sabres get it done by a score of 4-3. The Eichel drama played out throughout the whole game, Pat. He was quiet for the most part, hadn't done much statistically, only had one shot through two periods of play, but he was booed every time he touched the puck. Then he comes through with looking like he's going to be the villain here with getting the game winner, but Dahlin comes through and goes back. But the fans, from start to finish, were all over Eichel throughout this game.
They were, and then his reaction when he scored the go-ahead goal, and there was not much time left either, and that's another part of this story as well. 2.5 minutes to go in the game, really, he scores the go-ahead goal. That could have been a point where you just wilt and say, it's not our day, even though we've been the better team. But again, not letting that be the final nail in the coffin of the game, and you somehow find a way to come back. But, yeah, Eichel, you could tell he was, you know, this isn't his first time back, and it's not the first time he scored against the Sabres, but every time he definitely makes the most of it.
Here's how good I thought Buffalo was today. The shot attempt margin, the shots were 37-19, which shows that, but the shot attempts were 70-49. I thought that's about how it felt. Aiden Hill was good in net, but the Sabres also didn't convert some of the chances they had.
You're right, and I never felt like the Sabres either got themselves into a lot of trouble and forced themselves into a lot of bad penalties either in this game today, and something you can see from time to time for this team. So, yeah, they were able to dominate the play for a lot of this game. They took advantage of their opportunities when they really had them. And you look, the only power play goal of the game is a Sabre power play goal because Ryan McLeod was aggressive on the forecheck when the puck goes behind the Vegas net. Two defenders try and clear it, and it goes right to Jason Zucker in the slot, who does not miss.
Yeah, and that is something that the Sabres necessarily aren't always on. It's that high-pressure speed, and McLeod, who played very good today, not only does he score three shots on goal, he played over 22 minutes. He's got 5 points in his last five games, so McLeod's playing very, very well. McLeod did a good job in the Oilers game on the McDavid line, and obviously, even though he doesn't get an assist on the Zucker goal, he has a big hand in it.
Yeah. He only ends up with the 1 point in the game today, but really creates the play that results in that goal. And Sabres a couple of times able to come back from deficits and find a way.
Yeah, and another storyline here in this game, the Sabres sticking up for Kulik. We'll hopefully maybe get an update from Lindy Ruff here as Kulik got a hit to the head, to the up high at the very least, that put him down. Peyton Krebs responded right away, picked up a 5 out of 10, which we'll talk about more here on the post-game show, but we'll see when Lindy Ruff steps into the media room in just a few minutes if there's an update. All right, here's Rasmus Dahlin up first, live with Paul in the locker room.
Rasmus, overall, I thought you guys had a good game. It was a little bit surprising you were behind in it. Talk about the goal that you scored to tie the game.
Unbelievable play by Tage and Bo to keep the puck in, and then Bo made a great pass to me, and it was just for me to shoot it.
What were your thoughts overall on the hockey game?
A step in the right direction, for sure. Now we look like a team. We've had a lot of discussion lately. How we want to play these last, 20 games or whatever it is. And today was a good step in the right direction. Now it's up to just keep it going.
We saw a bad result in Detroit, but we kind of started to become a team in the third period there. How much did the play Peyton make today just really emphasize that point of what you guys are looking for?
Yeah, I mean, you clearly see we're a bit of a different team now with Krebs today, Greener. I mean, we're stepping up for each other, and now we look like a real team now. This is a start on something good, I think.
Overall, defensively, did you think you guys limited their chance? I know they got three, but when I looked at the overall game, it didn't seem like they had all that many chances.
I mean, all the chances they had was from my ups. So I got to stop doing that, and we'll be really good next game.
All right, take those out. Do you think overall it was a good defensive effort?
For sure. I mean, we didn't give them anything. They didn't give us anything. I think it was a real, real tight hockey game. We stayed with our structure, we were patient, and like I said a couple times now, we looked like a real team.
6-on-5 has been kind of up and down this year. What Eichel scores that goal, you know, it could have been pretty easy to get deflated. What do you think about the way you guys just were able to pull it together and respond?
Unbelievable. We want to do something good here. I'm very happy how today went.
How about McLeod? He gets that goal, but on the power play goal, the pressure that he put on the defenseman seemed to me like it forced the turnover.
Yeah, even in the beginning, he made an unreal slip pass to Sucker. You know, plays like that, it's hard, but he's playing so good right now. He's a huge piece for us.
You know, you guys get the faceoff down there. The game should have been over. Hurdle should have put the puck in. You almost think that was a little disrespectful. He's trying to get it back to Jack. We know what he's doing there, but, you know, you guys get the break on it. What was your view on that?
I couldn't care less if he tried to disrespect or anything. We got the win, and that's all that matters. I'm happy. He was unselfish.
You say team, and you talked about Peyton sticking up for Jiří, but what else does team mean to you? What else have you done to make yourself a team?
Things that you guys don't see in the locker room. It's a different vibe right now, and you know, guys are stepping up, being really good leaders, and guys want to be here. We want to make a difference. I think a lot of things you guys don't see.
With Peyton in particular, I mean, he flies under the radar given the role he plays, but what does he mean to this room? I'm sure it wasn't a surprise to see him step up like that.
No, he stepped up. He was the one backchecking to Hurdle. Thanks to him, we got this win, honestly. You know, he works so hard every day, and he's a huge piece of this room, and he's a team first guy, and every team needs a guy like him.
Thank you, Rasmus. Rasmus Dahlin on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, lots of positive messages there from the captain. He scores at 19:46, his 12th of the season, on a big blast. Byram and Thompson set him up. All right, let's go back to the room. Jason Zucker is now live with Paul.
Jason, the way you guys won this game, what does this mean to this team to be able to fall behind, come back, win a hockey game like this, and stay together?
Yeah, it says a lot. I think, you know, we're trying to focus on how we want to finish the season as a team and building building our group, and I think this was a good step, and especially after the game in Detroit, I thought this was a great response, and now we have to follow it up.
With Peyton and, you know, Jordan stepping up, is that just another example of you guys really becoming a team throughout the season?
Yeah, I thought they did a great job. It's not a fun part of the job, and I thought they were great. So it was, I think those were big boosts for us. And I think that stuff goes really a long way, so it was good to see.
When you look at your goal, is it the pressure that McLeod puts on the defenseman behind the net that forces that turnover to you?
Yeah, 100%. It makes them, if he has another 2 seconds or another second to make a play, it's probably going down the ice. So I thought it was great by Clowder, and Tucky was right there too. So, all the credit to them on that.
Yeah, you're behind in that game. Jack gets the tap, and does it almost feel like, you know, the gods are with you, the right team won, given the way the game went, especially the last two periods?
I suppose, but at the same time, you know, you still got to earn it. And, we kind of gave them that goal. I think the only time we got in trouble tonight is when we brought pucks back, and we're trying to make east-west plays. When we played north, I think we played fast, and we made it tough on them. So that goal was kind of the thing that was getting us in trouble. So it was nice to go get it back. I think we played direct when we were 6-on-5. Tucky had a heck of a screen on that goal, and that was huge. So it was good to tie it up, and obviously some great shootout goals too.
I know you hate to give up three, but overall it seemed like you guys didn't give up much in that game as far as defensive hockey went.
Yeah, I think giving up three that way, we can be okay with that. I don't think it was just, you know, a track meet running gun and giving up double digit scoring chances left and right. I think it was a good solid game for us, and again, something that we got to try to build off of.
You mentioned building over these last 15-20 games or toward next season. Is it really about solidifying your identity as a group moving forward? What do you want to really solidify here over these last this last month?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. I think I think one of our biggest issues this year has been consistency, and I think it was nice to have that, but again, I think for us, we got to learn how to follow it up, and I think that's going to be a big key for us for the last 15, and I think that can carry into summer, can carry into training camp next year, and just kind of show the game that we need to play to be successful.
And consistency, taking the way you play at home onto the road?
That's a huge part. Yeah, absolutely. I think I think one thing we really wanted to work on this year was our starts. I think we did a pretty good job of that, and then obviously playing a full 60 now is really the big issue that we got to shore up, and I think tonight we did a pretty good job of that. We had a couple momentum shifts, but that's hockey. I mean, we can be okay with momentum shifts, just not 20 minutes off or 40 minutes off. So I think that's a big focus for us, and, you know, again, I thought tonight we did a good job of that.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Zucker on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Zucker scored on the power play to tie it up at 2, halfway mark of the third. That was his 10th goal of the season on the power play. That leads the team. Back to the room. Quickly, here's Ryan McLeod now.
Ryan, you got the goal. We'll talk about that in a second. I wanted to talk about the Zucker goal. It seemed like the pressure you put on caused the turnover. Did you get a piece of him at all, or was it just the pressure you put on him?
Yeah, I think I may get a little bit of a stick, just kind of try to stunt him. You know, took a little extra second to clear it, and I just got over there in a sec. So, yeah, it was a huge goal for us.
How about the goal you did score coming through the zone there? It seemed like your speed is what got you there.
Yeah, you know, just a face-up play. We drop a bit. We don't really get to execute too much. But, yeah, I just tried to put five up and kind of working on that shot the last little while, and it went in.
Talk about your offensive play. You got some career highs already this year. How much improvement have you seen in your offense here as a Sabre?
Been good. Yeah, definitely playing with more confidence. I think they're, you know, kind of putting me in more offensive role. So that's been nice, trying to, you know, build every day and work on my game and in practice too.
What's this like for you to kind of break out of, played such a defensive role in Edmonton, and now, you know, the goals are coming and you're important in that role?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's fun to have that that role and be relied on to, you know, add offense. So just trying to roll with as much as I can and keep growing.
Defensively, it looked like a little like the Edmonton game after you give up 7 in Detroit, but you had the Edmonton game, then the bad Detroit game. Now this one, I know they got 3, but what did you think of the overall defensive effort? I didn't think they got that much other than their 3 goals.
Yeah, they're a good team. They're going to, you know, they have a lot of guys who could score goals, so it's tough to keep them to 0, but I think, you know, we did a pretty good job of, keeping them to the outside and, you know, minimizing their chances. Yeah, I think we got a lot of shot lanes and didn't give them like second whacks of the puck, so it was a good night.
What can you guys do to help on your outnumbered? You had 4 outnumbered, I counted, and you didn't get a shot on any of them. What can you guys do to maybe execute those a little bit better and get some good chances on that?
Yeah, it's a thing, you know, we work on every day in practice, creating those 2-on-1s and those 3-on-2s. So I think, yeah, just being a little bit more direct to the net and just funnel pucks there.
Rasmus, you guys have beaten Edmonton and Vegas in the same week here. You're in last place in the conference. How does that, you know, belie the fact you are in last place? I mean, here's 2 top teams coming in. You get both of them the same week at the end, you know, relatively near the end of the season where you're going nowhere. And you can take that and just kind of help continue to build your team.
Yeah, I think it's a huge thing we can build on. It almost seems like we play a lot better against the good teams in this league. We kind of, I don't know if it's we take our foot off the gas or we think it's going to be an easy night against the bad teams, but the, you know, teams who aren't as high up in the standings. And, I think if we go in with the mindset, you know, we're playing a Vegas or an Edmonton every night, it's going to, you know, do us better than I think it's going to be like a point night or a little bit easier night. But, those are huge building block games for us, and I think we should keep building on them.
You were on a team last year who was in the Stanley Cup Finals, and Rasmus just told us we're becoming a team now. It's different from what he's seen the last couple of weeks. Are you seeing that difference too, where you guys are becoming a different team?
Yeah, it's a hard league to win in. I think, you know, you need a really good team and you just, you know, need everything to go right in certain years to, you know, make playoffs or even, you know, go on a run. And, I think as a team here, you know, we have a lot of young pieces who are, you know, kind of finding their game, and you have some, you know, great older players who are, you know, complement us really well. So, it takes time to, you know, build a contender or build a, you know, playoff team every year. And I think we're, the way it feels in the room, we're building to take those next steps.
Thank you, Ryan. Ryan McLeod in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, McLeod flying around in this game. I thought he played very, very well. Gets that pressure to lead to the Zucker goal and then also a goal for himself. Now up to 15 on the season. That is a career high for him in that category. 4-3, Buffalo wins it. Brian Colziel, Pat Malacaro up here in the press box. That is it from the locker room. We'll be hearing from Lindy Ruff shortly here. Don't forget, you can send me your tweets. We'll read some tweets here a little bit later on in the postgame as we'll get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. The shots end up 37-19 in favor of Buffalo. Heavily one-sided. The shot attempts were 70-49. We brought that up earlier. Just a lot more pressure from Buffalo today. Lukanen gets the win with 16 saves. Hill, the loss. I thought he was good, though. 34 saves in the loss. For the Sabres, leading in shots, Thompson ends up with 5 in the game. Dahlin also with 5. Zucker had 4. Pretty physical game in the hit category for Beck Malenstein. He's credited with 7 of the Sabres' 36 hits. And power plays, Buffalo wins the special teams battle. 1 of 2, are the Sabres with that Zucker goal that tied it at 2. And Vegas, 0 of 1. The Sabres did a nice job not tanking penalties tonight. Your Dynabrade.com power play update powered by Dynabrade Tools, probably made here in Buffalo. All right, now, the injury front here. The Sabres playing without Norris, playing out Paterka, and Pat maybe now Kulik. We may get an update here from Lindy Ruff, but as we get to our injury report here, brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus, that's maybe one negative here, is that the Sabres may have gotten another injury here.
Yeah, big hit by Brett Howden. I don't think completely clean hit. Probably should have been at least a 2-minute minor. Looked like there was some contact up high, but again, it was the response. The big thing was, how would this team respond when there's a big hit, clean or not, leveled against a teammate in a situation like that? We saw the Sabres respond the other night against Detroit. And again, Peyton Krebs didn't wait around. Even Jordan Greenway pairing off with Keegan Kolesar a little bit later in the period as well, just to try and say, look, we're not going to be pushed around. So something that definitely the Sabres team learned from their mistake in that Devils game. They talked about it that day, that post game, about having to learn from it, and it looks like they have.
You said it right when we were watching it here play out, when we found out there was no penalty called there on Howden, that why wouldn't you call it the major, which allows you to review it, and then you can go back and essentially make the call that you want to at that point with the aid of seeing it in slow motion.
Yeah, I don't really understand what all four officials huddling and discussing when you don't really see what happened accomplishes, other than, again, like I mentioned to you and you just laid it out, it gives you the opportunity to go back with Toronto where they have all the angles, you get the iPad out, whatever, and say, okay, we thought we saw a penalty, maybe we didn't, but let's find out for certain.
Right.
Because the game is so fast, it happens in a split second. If you don't see it, call it, and you have the ability to rescind the penalty completely. That's why I've always said, I like the way college football legislates targeting, because it's an automatic review.
Yeah.
That's essentially what the NHL can do with a 5-minute major. It's basically an automatic review process where you can go back and completely rescind the penalty if there wasn't one there. Because there, a lot of times there are hits shoulder to shoulder that look like they're very violent and maybe neck head area hits that aren't. And it allows you the opportunity to look back and say, you know what, we got that wrong. It was a clean hit. It was violent, but it wasn't vicious. And that's what the officials should have done. To me, it's another case of the officials just not really properly doing their job.
4-3 Sabres winning a shootout. Here is Lindy Ruff live.
Maybe you shouldn't have been behind and you still were able to win the hockey game.
Yeah, did a lot of good things in the game. You know, starting with, you know, managing the puck throughout the game. I mean, still made a couple big mistakes with the puck, but 90% of it gives you a chance to beat a good team.
What did you think about Krebs and Greenway stepping up after the hit on Kulik?
That is what we need. Every response, every instance that this was missing earlier in the year, the Devil game, that's an automatic in. And I love what Krebs did. He's doing pretty good, and I mean, I've talked to him. I mean, tomorrow will be a different story, but overall, he's doing pretty good.
Would you prefer just the ref, whether it's good hit, bad hit, whatever, just call the major so you can review it, so you can take a look at it?
Yeah, I think that's probably the easiest thing to do, you know, so you can take a quick look. Didn't, so you've got to live with what comes after that.
If you think of the way Dahlin, he struggled at times in this game with the puck, but he's there for you as your captain at the end. He makes a play. You know, he's still got his head in the thing to get you even.
Okay, but the reason we've been losing a lot of games is puck management. I mean, if you ask him, he's going to a man, say, wrong play. Wrong play, wrong time. We got to get rid of wrong play, wrong time. A couple minutes left. He understands it. Keep the puck to the outside. guys get in position. We made another high-risk play that we paid dearly for.
Did you think the overall defensive effort was good?
I thought our overall defensive effort, and here's how it starts. We played so much better in the offensive zone than we have recently. So you spend more time there. They chip it out. They get it out. We're countering. We're going back in. The amount of time we spent in the offensive zone led to playing. We didn't have to play a lot of defense. And when we did, you know, we had a line probably that was already on the ice for 15 seconds versus starting in your own end. I thought we won a lot of faceoffs, which were really important in the offensive zone, which allowed us to, you know, get into some puck possession plays. But defending, the number of shots we gave up, it's a recipe for winning a lot of hockey games.
You got obviously a huge break on the Hurdle play. The whole building knows what he was doing. What did you say to them at the timeout? Now that you're still alive in the game's not over.
Just that we don't have a lot of time. The puck's got to get to the net. I think we've seen a little bit in the past where kind of overhandle. I thought we had a great play up top, and then just the screen by Tuck on the goal was probably the most important factor. The goalie couldn't see it, and Dahls hit his mark, and you know, we end up tying the hockey game.
But over these past couple of months, he's really developed maybe into one of your most versatile forwards. Just what's helped him reach that next level maybe here?
I think, you know, the fact he's having a good year, the fact that he probably gets more of an opportunity. Like if you look tonight, he played 20 plus minutes. I think it's fueled where his game is at. You know, even some power play time now. Thanks.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff following the shootout victory over the Vegas Golden Knights. An update there on Kulik about halfway through that press conference there. He says he talked with him. He says he's doing pretty good. Obviously, tomorrow we'll find out maybe what his status is going forward. As Buffalo leaves for Boston tomorrow, they will play Monday night at TD Garden against the Bruins at 7 o'clock as they open up a four-game road trip. They'll be in Boston Monday, at Utah Thursday, at Minnesota next Saturday afternoon, and then at Winnipeg next Sunday afternoon before returning home. The Sabres' next home game is Tuesday, March 25th, against Dylan Cousins and the Ottawa Senators. All right, for all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you at this time. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, you can go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on WGR, more postgame coming up. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take when we return. We'll read some tweets. We'll get connected with our fans. Send them in at BrianWGR. More highlights. Pat will have the scoreboard. We'll update you on the standings here as we roll on from KeyBank Center. Shootout comeback victory for the Sabres. Buffalo 4, Vegas 3. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There he goes to the net. Eichel's got a chance. Luka to the save. Great pad stop by Ukko Pekka Luukkonen.
Well, Jack Eichel had his chances in overtime. He hit a post later after that one, but a big save as he went in alone on Luukkonen, who faced 19 shots. He stopped 17 of them, and then, of course, 2 of 3 in the shootout. Eichel again there. One of those two stops, and that is our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 4-3, Buffalo comes back. They never led in the game until you see the final scoreboard, Pat, where they ended up getting it done. A lot of juicy storylines in this one for a team that's sitting in last place. It was a pretty entertaining game overall.
Yeah, and the question was asked to Lindy Ruff, what did he say to the team in the timeout? Because after Tomas Hertl passes the puck and gave up the opportunity to score what could have been the 4-2 goal to put the game away, look, just get to the puck to the net. You don't have a lot of time. And that's exactly what the Sabres did. And again, also credit to Alex Tuck. Creates the screen as Dahlin takes the shot, but without the screen, does Aiden Hill find a way to see it? Maybe he does, and you're talking about a 3-2 loss in the end.
That's right. Hey, if you're in your car listening on your way home, your drive home from the game, brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, celebrating 90 years of business. 4-3 shootout victory. The Sabres will have a 4-game road trip starting Monday night in Boston against the Bruins. Let's now shift down back to the media room and get Paul Hamilton's final take on this one. Well, Paul, the shots on goal, one-sided. The shot attempts were one-sided, 70-49. I thought Buffalo was the better team in this game, but it looked as though it was going to be another one of those nights where they couldn't execute and convert on their chances, and they walk away with a loss, and Jack Eichel gets the last laugh. But instead, they found a way.
Yeah, and if I'm the Vegas coaching staff, Tomas Hertl's getting an earful. I mean, he had the empty net. He was staring at it. All he had to do was hit the net. There was nothing in between him and the empty net. And he decides, you know what? I'll try to give Eichel the goal because the fans here hate him. And, passed basically to a covered Eichel and gave the Sabres an opportunity. If he scores their game over, Vegas wins it. The hockey gods were looking on the Sabres for once. I know a lot of people say the Sabres can't catch a break. They certainly did there because I think you're right. I think the right team won the game. I thought they were the better team. Rasmus Dahlin, in no uncertain terms, talked about his mistakes in the game, as he said, on all three goals. But he kind of imposed his will during overtime and on, scoring the 6-on-5 goal when they need it. A great screen by Tuck in front, so Hill can't see the puck. So he at least came through there, and that's what good players do and great players do, If they screw up or they make a mistake, they make up for it. And he did there to put Buffalo into overtime and give them the opportunity to win in a shootout. And, Jack Quinn takes a lot of grief, and I'll give him credit. I mean, Jack Quinn is having a horrendous year. He's really struggling at it. And if you look at Jack Quinn, he only played 9:57 in the game. He hardly played. He only played like a minute and a half longer than Kulik did, who got injured. So he's basically sitting around the bench doing nothing. And then you put him in for the shootout. And what a gorgeous shootout goal, which he is very capable of doing. He's one of the best shootout players I've seen. Some of the goals he scored in Rochester and even up here on the shootout. So give him credit to stay ready when, you know, things weren't going his way. And, you know, to be able to contribute in that fashion like he did and, you know, get a big shootout goal for them.
Paul, Lindy was asked about Dahlin coming through with the game winner, and he didn't even acknowledge it. He just went right back to his mistakes and his puck decisions. He said, wrong time, wrong play. I don't know if it was in that order, but that was his phrase. So he still thinks, obviously, Dahlin's got to still, in the end, make some right decisions. Now, he made up for it, but obviously that was on the front and center of the coach's mind.
Yeah, definitely. And while we were talking, Jack Quinn played three shifts in the third period. So that's what I mean by staying ready.
Yeah.
But, yeah, back to Dahlin. That's what's keeping him from being a superstar player. I mean, he's a great player, but he's not what he was advertised to be when he came out. He's supposed to be the McDavid of defensemen. He's supposed to be one of the best defenseman, if not the best defenseman in the National Hockey League, and he's not even close. I'll always keep bringing this up. A preseason NHL Network had him 11th overall defenseman, and I would tend to agree with that. And those are the things that happen when he tries to make plays that, you know, he thinks he can make and then can't make, and they wind up in the back of the net. Because think about it. I kept asking the players. I thought that was a great defensive effort by the team for the most part. And people say, well, they gave up three. How can you say that? Yeah, they did. One was because Lafferty just wasn't aware at all about the guy he's back-checking on and let him loose, and he winds up tapping it into the empty net. That was a bad one. You know, Luukkonen drops Stone's shot, leaves it in the crease there. There's Eichel, just to tap, you know, push it in. You know, so, but other than that, you know, like, you know, Luukkonen made some good saves along the way. He didn't have to make a lot of them, though, because I don't think the Sabres gave up much defensively. I thought, just like the Edmonton game, they, you know, they had a good defensive game and killed plays. And Lindy Ruff talked about why, because they were in the offensive zone a lot. And, you know, we can look at why weren't the Sabres ahead with so much offensive zone time and so many chances and shots. I think quite simply something we talked about in both intermissions. They had four outnumbered situations, whether they were 2-on-1, 3-on-2s, or 4-on-3s, and they didn't get a shot on goal on any of them. The passes weren't where they were supposed to be, and the puck just never went anywhere, and they never got a scoring opportunity out of any of them. And those are the things you have to capitalize on. Really, Vegas scored on two outnumbered, you know, and that's what most teams do, and the Sabres don't even get shots. And it's something that's kind of plagued them all year. And somebody might say, yeah, but they do score a lot of goals. They're not, you know, in the bottom of the league at scoring goals, but you know, in games where, like the Detroit game, they wind up giving 7 and losing 7-3, but that was 4-3 going into the third period. Well, if you, I don't think they did, but if you screw up an outnumbered situation where you could have made the game 4-4, now we're talking about a whole new ball game. And, you know, that's where I think, you know, this team has to get better at in converting those types of, you know, glorious opportunities that you get. You've earned, you've made the play to get the outnumbered, you've earned it, probably forcing a turnover or something like that. So you've earned the outnumbered situation. Don't screw it up by making bad passes.
4-3, Sabres over the Golden Knights in a shootout. Paul, let's talk about Ryan McLeod. There was only three Sabre forwards that played over 22 minutes. Thompson and Tuck, not surprising. McLeod continues to get more offensive opportunities. He's putting up career-high numbers, now up to 15 goals. But it was his pressure, Paul, behind the net that led to the Zucker game-tying goal. And, you know, we obviously mentioned last week how good he was against the McDavid line. So he's getting a chance. Every time he seems to be able to move up or play in a larger role, I feel like for the most part this year he's come through.
Yeah, and something that we haven't talked about as I'm looking right now, he was 16-4 on faceoffs. That's 80%.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing, too. That's why maybe they were in the offensive zone a lot, because they were winning faceoffs. I mean, Kozak was 5-1.
The team was 70%, Paul. That's pretty good.
Yeah, Kulik was 6-2. Krebs was 5-2. And Thompson was 12-7. So that it just goes to show you for the groups that say face-offs don't mean anything. You know, when you can start with the puck, you can keep offensive zone pressure. And, you know, they had to gut it out to win a hockey game, even though they were, I thought, were the better team. I mean, Dahlin scores on his fifth shot. Thompson had five shots. He had a big, before Zucker scored on the power play, he had a big one-timer from the circle. Zucker had four shots and did score on the power play finally. You look at the hits. Malenstein had seven. Greenway had five. Samuelson had four. So, you know, they were also, so did Bo Byram. Bo Byram had two, I'm sorry. You look at those types of things, and I didn't want to ask it now. It's more, I think, a question on locker cleanout day. Rasmus Dahlin is talking about last week or two, this is a different team. And he goes, and it's in places that we don't see, you know, behind closed doors, maybe people stepping up and saying things or that type of thing. And now there is a team response when things go haywire, which we didn't see before. And Lindy Ruff brought it up, that we weren't seeing it earlier. Everybody just stand around. It wasn't just the New Jersey game. It's in a lot of games. Now there's a team response immediately. Krebs got there first, and Clifton was right behind him if Krebs didn't get there. That's important. And Dahlin talks about that, you know, helps you build as a team. My question it will be eventually, I want to see how this plays out till the end of the year. Why did it take so long to all of a sudden you guys wake up to become a team? I don't disagree with what he's saying. They do seem different to me. The Detroit game certainly wasn't different, but the Edmonton game, those are two good teams that you beat here at home. They got to find a way to take their home game to the road, but those are two good teams because you played a solid overall game. You've been there for your teammates lately ever since you had, but you had to have a meeting to figure it out after the embarrassing New Jersey incident. You shouldn't, at this level in the NHL, need a meeting to tell you what the proper response is to that, but the proper response is happening now. So I just want to see how this plays out, but that definitely is a question I want to ask at the end. All right, here you are. You are becoming a team, but why did it take so long to figure it out?
Paul, great work today. Appreciate it. Pre-game all the way through the post-game chat here, and we will do it again Monday night with the Sabres in Boston.
Okay, we'll talk to you then.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton with us here. Sabres open up a 4-game road trip. Boston Monday, Utah Thursday, and then next weekend a pair of afternoon games in Minnesota and Winnipeg. The next home game will be a week from Tuesday against Ottawa, and that means a return of Dylan Cousins. Pat, who's off to a very good start for Ottawa. He's been very good. In the early won-the-trade battle, Cousins is doing it right, doing well right now.
He's playing well. They're in Toronto tonight. And it goes back to something. Always a pet peeve of mine is the winners and losers of trades.
Yeah.
In the end, if a GM, quote, wins all the trades, the other GMs are not going to want to deal with you because they're fleecing you essentially every time. Mm-hmm. It could be a good hockey trade. The Sabres picked up a good player in Josh Norris. So in the end, you want both teams to get good value because around the league that builds goodwill with other GMs. If they know that you're willing to make a trade that benefits both sides, it has to benefit you in the long run in terms of being able to make a deal with somebody else. So I think in the end, you could look back on this trade and the end of this season in a couple of years and say it was a good trade for both sides in the end.
Yeah. And obviously for Norris, the Sabres have some injuries. He's one of them. Kulik now added to that list, and Paterka. So to win this game today against Vegas I think is impressive, but to do it with no Paterka, no Norris, and for half the game no Kulik, I think that also has to be something that we throw in there too to give the Sabres some credit for this win today with three of their best players out.
And with 17 minutes worth of penalties, Peyton Krebs missed a healthy chunk of time in that second and early part of the third too, right? So, yeah, the Sabres were without a lot of their key forwards for majority of this game this afternoon. So for them to be able to find a way and not look out of place, I think that's something when I was talking to Derek Kramer pregame today, he asked me something I was looking to see from this team that can give you a sign that they're maybe moving in the right direction. In a game like today was exactly what I had said to Derek. you get a team like Vegas, who's one of the best out west. You played really well against Edmonton. If you can stack up games where you are competitive, you may not win them all, but at least you're competitive. You're skating with the other team, and you're going up and down the ice with chances. That's what made the last couple of years, even though the Sabres didn't make the playoffs, that was the excitement towards the end. Is yes, they were climbing back in the playoff hunt, but also, you know, think about 3 years ago when they weren't. They were at least competitive, and the games were so that you didn't feel like they were the inferior team. If you have more games like this, I think that will go a long way. You can't necessarily take what you do up through middle of April this year and apply it to next September when camp begins, but you can start to see what are those core pieces that are going to be part of your solution going forward, and that's a lot of what we can tell in these final 15-16 games.
4-3 shootout victory for Buffalo over Vegas, again Monday in Boston. Pat, before we get to your scores, let's get connected with our fans here, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. I got a couple of tweets here, interesting, that actually kind of one positive, one negative spin on the Dahlin comments. Dahlin says the locker room has a different vibe right now. Guys want to be here. Says there are a lot of things that the media doesn't see. He says they're really coming together. Now, obviously, we also heard from Dahlin a few days ago that said, you know, coming off of the Paul Bissonnette comments, that he said, I want to be here. There's no truth to that, all that sort of thing. So there's a lot going with that. Dean tweets in and says, let's go. Give us a ray of hope here in this brutal season. I honestly believe they're all pros. They live to win. He was now front office and ownership would just do something here to win back the brutalized fan base. So there's one spin. I'll treat that as the positive one. Robin says, Dahlin, don't say that. He goes, Adams hears that, and now he won't change enough. Okay, so, or both right.
I don't think just by Rasmus Dahlin saying that doesn't give Kevin Adams the impetus to go out and make deals in the offseason. I would almost think...
Or to think that everything's fine.
Right. I would say, to the contrary, is there a way to enhance what you're building now? And you may not agree with all the pieces that are in place, and that may be where that kind of comes from, is you may not agree that the core right now is what the core should be next year, but if they're finding a way to get back into it, then you have to kind of see this out. Now, on the flip side of the coin is, this is another time where the Sabres had their backs up against the wall, and they're in last place, they're trying, you're playing with house money, so to speak, and you're finding you know that togetherness finally, you know, too little too late, and it always takes that being out of it to find it. So how do you change that?
I'll add one more on this response to the Dahlin comment about the vibe in the room right now. James says something I think everyone quickly moved on from was the Zucker and Greenway extensions and how much of a morale boost that probably is in that room, not only for the two veterans, but to choose to stay over being moved to a contending team.
I think that's a very valid point. And, you know, when you talk about having the right veterans in the locker room to help build on the young players' success and the young players trying to fill into their roles, I think that could be a big step in the right direction. I mean, again, going into the year, who thought Jason Zucker would have the impact that he's had with these now 10 power play goals and being one of the really the top playmakers on this team consistently throughout the course of the year?
Yeah, good point, Pat. I agree. Yeah, I mean, Zucker and Greenway, I think, are players that, again, they're not superstar players, but they have value on this team. I think they have probably more value because of what maybe Paul was saying in pregame, how they don't have a lot of veteran leadership. They don't have a lot of guys that can kind of say, hey, this is the way things should be done, or hey, don't do that. Or as Paul even said, Paul was like, sit down and shut up kind of mentality. Like, they need more. If Kevin Adams is to have the job going into this summer here, I would say there has to be at least one more Greenway Zucker player coming in, if not maybe more.
Yeah, look at the trend of the league. It's drafting your top talent, having them in the league early, and rewarding them with a big contract right away. That is not unique to the Sabres. It's just unique that the Sabres didn't have the pieces around those young players to help lead them and help lead by example enough. Plenty of teams sign their young players to long deals. The bridge deals are a thing of the past, but now how do you really find those veterans who want to be here, who want to contribute, and that maybe just the example that Zucker and Greenway are showing will allow other veterans to come into this offseason and say, maybe there's something to what those two guys signed up for in Buffalo. I want to see what they have to offer, and it might not lead to a contract, but at least making Buffalo an option, which would be much welcomed.
Yep, I agree. All right, let's see what's going on elsewhere. Busy day. I think we do have a second game actually going underway here. Let's go around the NHL.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joy Shore Border Attorneys. There is only one other game ongoing right now. Rickard Rakell, the latest goal for Pittsburgh as the Penguins lead New Jersey 3-1 midway through the game there. Alex Ovechkin, 8 goals away from tying Wayne Gretzky's all-time NHL goal record, 9 from breaking it, and the Capitals are in San Jose this afternoon for a 5 p.m. faceoff as well. Tonight at 7 o'clock, the Bruins will welcome in the Lightning, while Dylan Cousins and the Senators just up north in Toronto tonight to meet the Maple Leafs, while the Canadiens host the Panthers. The Hurricanes are in Philadelphia, and the last game at 7 sees Columbus welcoming in the Rangers. 8 o'clock in Minnesota for the Wild and the Blues, while the Predators and Kings meet at 8, and the 10 o'clock faceoff tonight, last game of the night, sees Vancouver welcoming in Chicago. A couple of notes from college basketball, as the one of the members of the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, Dan Gavitt, just on CBS recently saying that there's only 4 spots the committee still has to decide on. So if you're a college basketball fan, Selection Sunday's tomorrow. The field of 68 is nearly set. So we'll see tomorrow who the final at-large teams are. But tonight, conference tournament finals roll on. The big-time programs, including Houston and Arizona, meet for the Big 12 championship in about 2 hours from now, while at 6:30, at the world's most famous arena, St. John's takes on Creighton for the Big East Championship, and the ACC final will see Duke and Louisville. The big story at the ACC tournament, Cooper Flagg, the freshman phenom, injured a couple of games ago, will not play tonight. But again, Gavitt, part of that conversation, saying that everything that the ACC and Duke have communicated to them, Flagg should be available come next week for the first round of the tournament.
And Duke is going to be a one seed whether they win or lose tonight anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. Last night, drama with that game with Duke and Carolina. Carolina's got a free throw to send it to overtime, and one of the Carolina players steps in the lane, a lane violation, and then they have to foul Duke, and they ended up losing by 3. But a painful way for Carolina, who is literally on the bubble line. If you follow Joe Lenardi, he's literally on the last 4 in, last 4 out. Carolina, like, literally is that team that's right now wavering whether they're going to get in or not. I mean, that would be a painful way to not make the tournament if you had a possible way to beat Duke and get in. Instead, you step in the lane. I mean, the player, I don't have the player's name last night, but I know he was in tears after the game when he was watching it on ESPN.
I know we were talking about Syracuse earlier, and remember the Jerry McNamara Big East tournament run. Syracuse wasn't even they were a bubble team, and you somehow found a way to win your Big East tournament at the time. So this time of year, these conference tournaments, more about can a team steal a bid or find a way in, whereas a Duke, even with Cooper Flagg's injury, had they lost last night, they're still a one seed no matter what based on their body of work. So that's why I think these 2 weeks of college basketball leading into the NCAA tournament, not as fun, but almost as fun as the first round.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, Pat, I want to thank you for your season work here at KeyBank Center. This is your last home game. Because you're now going all day, all the time with the Buffalo Bisons, and opening day is less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. It's been a lot of fun this year. Home opener just up the street on March 28th, so looking forward to that season starting. Always disappointed when my last broadcast here along the network happens, but always glad to be up here with yourself, Jonathan, Paul, and everybody, Tom Matty, our engineer, Dan and Rob, and everybody that make it such a fun atmosphere up here. And wins and losses aside, this is a great atmosphere to be around, and hopefully looking forward to seeing you again in this same spot in September.
I agree. Yeah, it's been many years up here together, and you always keep us organized up here, so thank you for all your efforts on that. How about one quick thought on what fans should look forward to with the Bison season here? What's kind of your major storyline that you're talking about?
A similar setup to last year. It'll be a lot of players that got experience in Buffalo last year that found their way to the end of the season. A guy like Alan Roden, who was the International League Player of the Month in August. There are a lot of players that got some good, meaningful time in Buffalo last year that'll be back with the team to start this season. So while there might not be the Ricky Tiedemann storyline of being a starting pitching and prospect that'll be in Buffalo to start the year, a lot of good depth. And the way that AAA baseball is set up, you have first half and second half winners. With the way this Bison team, there's still a couple roster decisions to be made by the Blue Jays, but this could set up for the first half of the year to be one of those where the Bisons, if they can race out to an early lead in the International League, they might have a chance to win the first half, which would mean they could host the best of three playoff series in September. So looking forward to seeing how some of those young players adapt to year two at AAA and if they can lead to some early victories.
Make sure you tune in to Pat and Duke back for another year on the Bet 1520. And again, opening day, afternoon game on the 28th?
2:05 Friday afternoon, and then Saturday and Sunday at 1:05 as well against the Rochester Red Wings.
All right, so opening weekend will be here before we know it. And a taste of spring with this weather this weekend. So Bison baseball less than 2 weeks away. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, Sabres win it here in a shootout 4-3 as Alex Tuck ends up getting the game winner in the shootout to give Buffalo the 2 points. They still now still have some work to do, though, if you're thinking about moving up in the standings. We know the playoff talk at this moment mathematically doesn't really make sense, but they still have a 6-point gap on Pittsburgh, who's the next team in front of them. They are officially 12 points now out of the last playoff spot as of this moment. Wild Card 2 has 70, and the Sabres have 58. So again, our next game will be Monday night, 7 o'clock, pregame at 6, Sabres and Bruins as they begin a 4-game road trip that'll send them to Boston, Utah, Minnesota, and Winnipeg. And with that, we will put a wrap on things here from KeyBank Center. Want to thank our crew, Evan DePasquale, our producer back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, Evan. Tom Matty is our engineer here at KeyBank Center. For Jonathan Colziel, Pat Mullicaro, Paul Hamilton, and our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. Again, a final score in a shootout. Sabres 4, Golden Knights 3. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday night with the Sabres in Boston right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.